Well, hello, hello, and welcome to Drive Through HR, the easy to digest lunch discourse that covers a variety of HR topics. And y'all have read our bio, and if you haven't, you can check it out on Blog Talk Radio. Today we are here with Sarah Brennan at I'm So Sarah on the Twitters. Sarah, hello, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you. Is it weird to say Sarah Brennan? Because it's still weird hearing it.
It's not, but I have to admit I had to bite my tongue and keep from saying the artist formerly known as Sarah White. So, you know, I figured, probably been done. And maybe, I guess, just done again. But congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you.
Still in the newlywed phase for a few more months anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what the scope and what the rules are around that phase, but I'll milk it as long as I can to get my way in the house and So, but excellent! Oh. I'm so excited to be here. I'm sad I'm not at SHRM this year. It looks like a really amazing time. The No Kid Hungry event last night looked amazing. You know, as always, you guys have done a lot to continue to raise a lot of money for that amazing fund, and we've had some really fun things that we've done over the years. So to see that from afar and not be participating for the first time since we started those has been hard to watch, but I'm really, really happy for everybody that was able to be there and participate.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was definitely a good time last night. We're about halfway to our fundraising goal. I'm going to take this moment to plug this and say if anyone wasn't able to make it last night, I know you can hit Dwayne Lay's Twitter feed at Dwayne, D-W-A-N-E-L-A-Y. I think that's right anyway. And you can also look at hashtag SHRM Poetry. Donate. And also keep an eye over the next week because we'll be offering some really great auction items. So you'll want to get the straight skinny on that, which you'll be able to do through hashtag SHRM Poetry. I hear tell that at Tech they might be doing a roast. So if you think that's fun, hit that hashtag, SHRM Poetry, and then let them know who you'd like to see. A, do you want to do a roast? And B, who should get roasted? I think we should take nominations.
Anyway. As long as it's not me, I'm okay with it.
Well, then I suggest you get on the hashtag and say anybody else. All right, so for anyone who doesn't know you and so wouldn't know what to say to roast if they were roasting you, let's do a little interaction. Tell us about you.
Okay, well, I am Sarah Brennan, and I have a company called Acceler, and we really do growth and focus on growth for organizations. And it sounds a little bit vague, but really when we look at the issues most companies are facing, on the vendors within our industry, they're looking at growing their products, they're looking at growing their client base, they're looking at growing their adoption. And so we work with them primarily through market education and client relations with them to help grow adoption and usage of their product. But more so on the corporate side, we work with companies that are growing, which means they're hiring and they're trying to manage talent. And they're trying to better understand how to do that effectively and efficiently, because it's really easy to set up talent acquisition strategies. It's also very easy to set them up wrong and spend a lot of money. And so we really help companies kind of think through those processes around growth and come up with really solid set strategies that work unique to their business. And I've been around the industry forever. I kind of grew up in it. I started in HR tech actually when I was in college, and so now I'm well over a decade. I won't say how far over a decade, but well over a decade working with, you know, probably 50 or 60 different vendors in the space over the year, and about 300 organizations on some stage of strategy adoption or selection of software.
Wow. So you kind of know what's what in the HR tech space, what I'm getting out of this.
I have seen a lot of examples of what works and what doesn't work, and then do my own research also. So I'm not somebody that just kind of jumps in and figured it out, and I used to be a practitioner, so I get both sides of the coin. So it's fun. Cool. I can't imagine doing any other industry.
It is something that's, you know, the HR tech and human capital industry space is almost addicting in the sense that you get in, you get exposed to a lot of things. Like, I'd like to think that we see more diverse issues maybe than other sectors because there's so many facets to
right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think when we're working in this space, especially in a role like what I do, you know, my call might come from recruiting. It might come from, you know, CHRO. It might come from a company's marketing department. It might come from a CEO, right? You just never know because talent has become such a forefront issue for business in general. It's not even where it was even 5 years ago. We were looking at it very differently. And so the evolution I've seen in my career and respect for talent and respect for people that are doing talent management and talent acquisition strategy has evolved so much. And it's amazing organizations and leadership at organizations are really starting to recognize the importance of talent and talent acquisition and getting the right people in the door from the beginning versus trying to save the wrong ones once they're already in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and so let's talk about that backtrack. It's a nice little segue into what we I talked about before the show of looking at failures, right? So, I mean, when you're having to do the extra work and whatnot, I mean, what you're really talking about is a failure to meet whatever your original objective was. And I think that there's particularly right now a lot of conversation around how to improve HR experience from everything to employee engagement to candidate experience, which is probably a good topic for you and I, given that we are in the Candidate Experience Council. So what advice do you have for companies to avoid failing in the candidate experience area? And maybe you want to walk us through an example where someone had ethically failed or had a fail and how they worked out of that.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest issues that I find happen around candidate experience is people don't know when their process is failing because they're not doing audits. They're not bringing someone like myself or you or somebody else in to do these, third-party or independent audits of saying, here's where you need improvement. Here's why you're not succeeding the way you should. They're looking at issues on the back end and really focused on, you know, time to hire. Maybe our sources are wrong. They're looking at the wrong thing to solve problems. So that, I think, is the biggest failure kind of overall that I'm seeing within organizations is that they just don't know what they're actually failing in. And so they spend a lot of money and they spend a lot of time focused on the wrong thing. Candidate experience has evolved a lot since we started having this conversation and since the council and the Candidate Experience Awards were formed 4 or 5 years ago. And it needs to continue to evolve because there's still a misunderstanding of the impact of candidate experience. Candidate experience really, and where we fail as organizations, is we look at candidate experience as only being about the candidate. We forget that a positive candidate experience makes it easier for recruiters to do their job. It makes it easier for HR to do the job once that person is getting onboarded. It makes it easier for a hiring manager who's participating in that interview. If we look at the technical side of it and the technology and the applicant tracking systems and the video interviewing products and all of these other supplemental resources that are out there that organizations are using, a really good user experience on the candidate side often means that it also has a very good experience for the recruiters, the hiring managers, and everybody else involved in that process, which makes it easier for everybody. And so we fail because we focus and think, oh, candidate experience is only about how we talk to them on the phone, or it's only about their interaction, or it's only about the employment branding and how our website looks. And we forget really the full scope that candidate experience goes from the second they see your job posting on whatever job board you're choosing to use, all the way through when you either accept or decline them, right? And you
right.
and I both know our involvement with Canada's Experience Awards, which I will plug, if somebody isn't already doing that, whether you have a good process or a bad process in your mind, I strongly suggest getting involved and participating in that. It's free, and you get a benchmarking report back on how you're doing compared to other people. So it's a really great resource to have for organizations, and it's a nonprofit. It's just fantastic overall. But the other failure or mistake a lot of organizations make is they assume that if somebody doesn't get the job, they're going to automatically say they had a bad candidate experience, which from looking at the results over the number of years, you and I can both say that statistically is not even accurate, right?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, okay, so let's talk about accurate data a little bit. How do you get to the point of accurate data? Because, I mean, let's face it, we all start with some really muddy data, and getting to the point where you can trust the data you have and you know how to read it, it's difficult. So where do you
right.
start?
You know, I think as a practitioner, you have to take all of the metrics and data that you see with a grain of salt. And I say that as somebody who does research and surveying and publishing of that data for a living. And it's very easy, and I have seen how other research and data has been, you know, shifted a little bit, maybe to make somebody's point, or if, you know, for instance, there's a research that goes out pretty regularly, and I get blasted for calling this out. I'm not going to name the name of the company, but that says 97% of recruiters are recruiting online. The survey was done of their clientele, and they happen to be a social media-focused solution. So, yes, 97% of their survey participants do participate in online recruiting. When we look at that on a much more global scale or even a national scale, I could survey here in the Midwest, and that number is going to be much closer to the 20 to 25% range. So if you have to look at the data, where it's coming from, who's putting it out, and also what maybe the motives are behind them publishing and doing their research. However, the reality is there's a grain of truth to all of the numbers that you see also. So, you know, keep all of that in mind, but also keep some common sense. If a number sounds extremely high or extremely low, it's always worthwhile to kind of dig into that data. Getting validated data is extremely, extremely difficult. I know, you know, we're right in the middle of a big research project, and we're looking at Canada Experience for college hiring, for new grads, for interns, and looking at how their experience is, as well as how the companies are viewing the experience they are having from the career services department. And so it's really interesting to watch how people, you know, filter themselves in or out, how you word your questions. It's really technical, and it's why people that want to do kind of surveying or research, I really always strongly suggest working with somebody that has done a number of these, because how you even word a question can shift it and change it and create bias for the audience and give you the wrong results. So as you also look at the results that you're seeing as a practitioner, look at the question. Most of the time you'll see what the question was or how it was worded. And then you'll be able to see what the influence is on that. That was
Absolutely.
Really technical.
Yeah, but I'm
sorry.
It is technical, but it's important, right? Like, it's very difficult to put together a survey that doesn't inject bias into the survey questions. And so
right.
And I think that you have to also then think about the reception bias, right? So not only do we have to be careful to not put a bias in what we're asking, but we need to understand it's going to be read with bias by
right.
people that we're we're surveying. So you got to kind of ask questions a couple of different ways to get validated answers.
Well, and on top of that, I think the other piece that a lot of times I've seen unfortunately happen when people don't have kind of a research background or an analyst background is that whatever comes in on like a SurveyMonkey or whatever, the results and the percentages and the rates that show there are what they use. And there's one of the most important aspects to research for those validated results are cleaning your information and getting rid of the duplicates, getting rid of the people that aren't answering the questions maybe effectively, getting rid of the, you know, if you have 14 respondents from one organization, it's going to throw off the results. And so, you know, data cleanup is one of the most important things, and it's also, unfortunately, one of the most missed items with a lot of the vendors as well as a lot of the marketing firms that have done survey results.
Good companies to work with. I mean, by the way, feel free to toot your own horn because this is part of what you do. But, you know, but what are good companies to reach out to if you wanted to do something like this? Where do you get started?
Well, you know, obviously the analyst firms do really great work as far as analysis. There's the Deloitte, the Brandon Halls, Aberdeen's, Gartner's. We work as kind of a modified analyst firm because I liked working both sides with the vendors a little bit more and working on strategy a little bit more than I was able to do when I was at Burson and just publishing pretty consistently. You know, we do a modified approach, obviously, and work both with corporate on creating surveys around candidate and engagement, as well as working with vendors on topical and market research and industry research. To be honest, outside of the analyst firms, I don't really run across a lot of people, and so I can't promote or not promote anybody because I haven't actually seen other people's work. And I'm one of those people, I don't send people's names out just because we're friends. And I know that's horrible, but that's the truth. If I don't know your work and haven't seen it with a client before, I don't want to send somebody to somebody that I haven't seen their research on. But any of the major analyst firms that are publishing pretty consistently have done some obviously very great work. And then we came out of analyst industry training and can work with companies as well. But there's a number of market research firms out there that specialize in this. I don't know. Google, you caught me off guard on that one. You know, I hate pitching products. I hate it. I hate it.
I'm so
vendor neutral on these things that it makes me, I'm going to end up with 47 emails now from people that are like, hi, we blah, blah, blah. So that's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving some places for start because it is difficult. And there's like 14,000 bajillion firms that do candidate experience because it is the buzzword of the hour, right?
It is. And that's one thing I will, and I always get kind of a slap on the hand from, you know, the consulting world when I say these type of things. But, you know, really look and see where somebody's background has come from and what else they've been doing. There's some really, really amazing consultants in our space that are really amazing at what they do. And there's also people that, you know, like you said, oh, candidate experience, buzzword of the day, we're going to, you know, become an expert on there. You know, so really make sure you're asking the questions. Don't just look to see who's on the Twitter list or who's tweeting a lot or writing a lot on a topic. Really dive in to talk to them and talk to their background. And, you know, I know we send people to other consultants constantly because we know what we're good at, what our specialty is, and the type of companies that we're able to work with effectively. And I, you know, have no problem sending people elsewhere I always am kind of a little bit more buyer beware on anybody who says they can do everything. You know, just for my own reasons, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how somebody can be expert at everything, so I'm always a little bit more leery with that.
You can't. I mean, the reality is you can be, you know what, I was, I'm trying to think how to say this. So when I started in recruiting, I had this really interesting trainer. Actually, I didn't care for him very much at all because he didn't take the time to get to know people very well. And I kind of think that you should, if you're trying to train people,
right.
Know who you're trying to.
Yep.
But that being said, he said something that's always stuck with me, and it was like, people take information in silos, and most people have several silos that they fit into one of two categories. There's several silos in which they have a little bit of information in each one, or one or two silos that they have very deep information in and practically no information in the other ones other than how they relate to those two silos that they have very deep information.
Yep.
If you were going to spend money on an outside consultant, or even if you were going to hire someone to do a job, which would you rather have in that job, the person who's a specialist and has deep knowledge or a generalist? And that was a really interesting that was a really interesting concept to me. But I think
right.
Something like this, talking about specialized projects, you want someone who is very deep rooted into the areas that you're
right.
in, I would think. So what about you?
I agree, and I think one of those reasons is a lot of times people that are really involved with those specific lines of whatever it is. You know, people that focus and can do a lot of work around employment branding or candidate experience or recruiting strategy. You know I've come in after failures in recruiting strategy that people have either had on their own or with other consultants. I get called in a lot of times to do kind of the, okay, this isn't working. How do we fix this and quick? You know, a lot of times there's a lot of tweaks and modifications that you can do for free, for next to free, for low cost. It doesn't have to be an expensive thing. And unless you really are in the process and really understand how everything is working and this is one of your silos that you focus on, you often don't know a lot of those little tweaks that are really of the most value for an organization. It's one thing to be able to come in and set up a strategy and be like, okay, well, to do your employment branding campaign, it's going to be, you know, $1 million versus being able to come in and say, okay, so you can spend $1 million or we could spend, you know, 20 grand and here's how you can do that with this. Here's some of the free tweaks. Here's some ways around that. Here's what I've done with other clients, you know, and really look at it. Social media has changed the game so much. And technology, SaaS technology, the cloud has really changed how all of this works. The technology we use from marketing to recruiting has changed. And now there's tweaks and works around that are just as effective as some of the more expensive options that are out there.
Yeah, and I agree with that for sure. Oh, so we've had such a fun conversation that I forgot to reset. So let's do a quick one real quick. If you're just on... You're talking with, well, you're listening to me talk with Sarah Brennan, formerly known as Sarah White. Right now we're talking candidate experience, how to choose the right vendors to work with, partners to work with, and what it really takes to move past the candidate experience failure, which, let's admit, more companies have more failures than success stories at this point, I think, because it's really just something that we're starting to focus in over the last couple of years. Would you agree with that statement, or do you think we're just not hearing all of the success stories?
Both. I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both on that one. I think we hear a lot more about the failures, and I think we hear a lot more about the successes. I wish we heard more about the successes at companies that didn't have the huge budgets to succeed. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And this would be something I would really challenge conference planners and whoever does speaking to really start shifting their focus on it for as long as I've been on the conference circuit, you know, the speakers that come up come from really big name brands. They're from huge companies. They have ridiculously high budgets to do branding, to do candidate experience, to do strategy, to do technology, to do whatever it is that they're talking about. And very rarely do they come up and talk about failure. I think AT&T is one of the only organizations I've heard actually come up and publicly talk about failure and how they failed and what steps they took to achieve. And, you know, on the flip side, you sit in the audience as 80% of the participants that are never going to get a $2, $3, $4, $500,000 budget for, you know, employment branding, technology, whatever the case may be, and you tune out because you don't know how to make it apply. And I wish more events would shift the focus to some of these mid-size organizations. I understand they need to do name brand companies, but they could still have some name brand mid-size companies that don't have ridiculous budgets that can be really transferable in what they're doing to the organizations that are actually paying money to sit and listen to them.
Yeah. So we've got about 4 minutes left. What do you want people to know? Like, you've got about, let's say, well, whatever you want, what would it be?
Oh, man. Oh, wow. You know, I think one of the biggest mistakes organizations make is they try to go from A to Z versus trying to go from A to B, B to C, C to D, and doing it in smaller steps. I think one of the other challenges is they don't really connect the value of candidate experience and hiring in general and just bringing the right people on board with the overall success of the organization. And that's a session I've been lucky enough to be traveling around the country right now presenting to leadership teams, executive teams, and HR practitioners is the link between engagement, hiring, and customer satisfaction scores, and hiring compared to overall business success. And, you know, that I think for a failure is as an industry as a whole is one of our biggest, is not understanding the connection between what we're doing and the true business outcomes. And being able to really have that conversation with our leadership teams and with each other at really that next level. Also, I love dark chocolate sea salt candy.
I do too, actually. And we found the best in Bodega Bay when we were out last week visiting people. But it was like salt and it was so amazing. It made me happy. It was true.
I actually had it my first time in Bodega Bay as well when we were out. I was out visiting with John Stumser and Heather. So it was amazing and changed my life. But I just happened to look up, and in my office there's a bar that somebody must have left for me. So I just became a very happy for a second.
Yeah, so basically what you're telling me is we can all be jealous of you later. So we're just about done. I am so, so grateful for you coming on today and talking with us about candidate experience. And hopefully it helps other organizations think a little bit about where to start. If anyone has any questions or wants to get into further conversations with Sarah, you can reach her at I'mSoSarah on Twitter and company web address.
It's Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at Acceler, A-C-C-E-L-I-R.com. And our website is Acceler.com, A-C-C-E-L-I-R.
Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And everybody else, have a fantastic day. If you're at Channel 15, we want to hear all about it. Hit DTHR on Twitter along with Channel 15. Thanks and have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me.